care. Don't say you don't care.
I do care. I care so much.
He just said he doesn't care. Hey! Welcome back! To SpoilerCon? No.
No.
No. No. No. The link might still say Spoiler Country, because, you know, we're lazy. But
I'd say we're busy, not lazy. We're busy.
Yeah, busy. But in fact, welcome to the Spoilerverse. I am one half of your host, Kendrick Regan, and that, nope, over there, right?
Is that working? Right here. Yep.
That guy right there, Johnny J, the man Horsley.
That's me.
Your other host. And we got some great news. We have successfully funded Supernatural Baby Detective Issue 2 as of August 7th. So yesterday, the campaign ended, but we have late pledges on. So if you're interested and you're hearing this and you're like, what's Supernatural Baby Detective? Go to SBD Comic. You can see the link right there in the ticker down there. And you can still do some late pledges and still get a physical copy or a digital copy of Issue 1 and Issue 2.
Yeah.
All your Issue 1 needs can be done through that Kickstarter, but it can also go to spoilerverse.com and you can get all the goodness there. You can get
in there.
Johnny stuff, what comes with Jonely Nonely, the I think it's Trailer Park meets South Park, Trailer Park Boys meets South Park. That's how I think of it.
I like it.
You can also get his prose, his novel called Memoirs of a Suicide.
Part 1 and part 2. Both part 1 and 2 are out.
Part 1, part 2, part 3 coming soon.
Yep.
Fully done, though. You need to understand, part 3 is fully written. It's not like you're going to be waiting like, you know, R.R. Martin, where he writes a book, you know, 20 years in between. Nothing like that.
At least in October, so...
By October,
are you just all finishing three versions
up some minor editing?
Yeah, I just it's all done. It's all edited. The only thing I have to do is I have to get the final graphic design for it done on the inside, which I'm almost done with.
Yeah, he says it's done editing, but I guarantee you, edits will be done.
probably.
But there's just a lot happened this summer. It's
a lot happening this summer.
Johnny got to go down and be part of the Titan crew. For SDCC, San Diego Comic-Con. I was going to be there, but I had a bathroom explode on me, which needed to be fixed. And I got COVID. So, you know, I had COVID the whole time you were there. So it would have been horrible if I went.
Yeah. It was awesome, though. I mean, I had so much fun down there. Being at the Titan booth was freaking amazing.
Yeah.
Met some really cool people. I met Matt Groening from The Simpsons. That was cool.
Oh. Did he come over to the booth and hang out?
Yeah, he was back behind the booth for like an hour and a half.
Ah, very cool. Did you tell him that you're from Seattle? And he was like, oh, I went to Evergreen College.
I did not, and he did not say that.
Oh.
He had his handler and his lawyer there with him, so conversations were very kept to the minimal with him. But he was nice.
Oh, yeah.
He signed some autographs and talked. Yeah.
You know what I love from Matt Groening? And it was happening when I was in high school, in junior high. Is Life is Hell.
Oh, yeah. Life is Hell book is great.
That was like his first stuff.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. So funny. I just remember the bunny had one ear.
Yeah.
But he had two ears, but you only saw it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's what was going on. But you could tell that art style has now, he created that art style. That's all that stuff. Like, I'm sorry, Rick and Morty, Simpsons, obviously, Futurama, obviously, but almost all of that art style is stemming from Groening.
Yeah, that's great.
Anytime you see those bug eyes and all that kind of stuff, you know what I'm saying? All I see is all these people were influenced by Groening.
Yeah, for sure. That was cool. I met Nathan Hamill, Mark Hamill's son. That was cool. I met Joe Dusko.
I don't know how to process that one. Is he in things?
He's a writer artist. Yeah, he has a book coming out.
Oh, cool. No, I had no clue. That's cool.
Yeah. I met a bunch of other people. It was awesome. I had so much fun. We had a bit of a crazy time getting down to San Diego, which was kind of insane, which I'll talk about here in a minute. Because our trip to San Diego, getting down there, was not smooth or easy. It was a pain in the ass. But Comic-Con itself was great. I bought some good books. Jacob, my 18-year-old, tried to spend all of his money on comics. He spent like $900 on comics of his own money.
That's a lot of money, dude.
He bought four books. So, yeah.
Well, I saw his little setup where he put them all in a row and all those Spider-Mans. I'm like, they're pretty cool. He picked out some pretty choice books.
Yeah. He got a Spider-Man 299, a Spider-Man 300. He got a Teen Titans 2, the first Deathstroke, signed by George Perez and graded. He got a first appearance of Reverse Flash. He got a second appearance of Reverse Flash. And then he's such a sweetheart. He bought me a first appearance of Poison Ivy, a Batman 181. Yeah. And that was not a cheap book. The first thing he bought was that to replace, because I used to have it and it got stolen. So he bought it to replace a book. I'm like, Jacob, you didn't have to do that, but thank you.
Yeah.
So we had a lot of fun. A lot of fun there. But yeah, so getting down there, dude. All right, so Kaylee, Jack, Tegan, and Jacob and I all flew down on Wednesday, right? Wednesday morning. We had a 6 a.m. flight.
Yeah. You had to be there because you had to help with Titan.
Yeah, I'd help set up. So we book an Uber or book a Lyft the night before to pick us up at 4 a.m., which get at 4 a.m. We'll be there by 4:30. Give us an hour and a half to get through everything to our gate. Plenty of time. We'll be there an hour and a half before our flight. Our Uber is 20 minutes late. And then the guy proceeds to drive 5 to 10 miles under the speed limit the entire way. So we don't get to the airport until after 5. I don't know. He didn't speak English. He wouldn't. I was trying to be, hey man, can we speed up? And he just like, oh yeah. And then just kept driving as slow as possible. He would take like he would come to a turn and like come to the turn and stop and then go slow as possible on every turn.
Is this from Seattle to the airport?
No, from my house to the airport, which is only
that's what I meant. 5 minute
drive. Yeah, it's not far away. So that was fun. So we got there at 5. We have two bags to check. So Kaylee takes, which we try and find some place to do it, and that's like faster. So Kaylee gets in line. I take the kids to the TSA line, to just try and get through. So she's in line trying to check bags. I say fuck it, and we go to clear. And I just use
that language.
Yeah, always. Why wouldn't I? It's good words. So we go to clear, and we're just gonna. I was like, well, I'll just reactivate my clear account, and the kids will be attached on it for free. So we'll just go through clear and get and pass the whole line. So we do that. I forget Jacob's 18, so he has to make his own clear account now. So he sets one up. I can't get into my clear account, but the lady there was like, okay, you know what? Just go through. And so she puts us through. So we're fine. We're through and going through security. We get into security and we're going through the thing. Now, mind you, I have told all of my kids, you cannot bring liquids. You cannot bring liquids through, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jacob brings a fucking rock star. Of course. And then is arguing with TSA about the making him throw it away. Like the guy's like, oh yeah, you have to toss your rocks. And he's like, seriously, bro. And I'm like, Jacob, you can't argue with TSA, dude. What are you doing?
Bro, seriously. Yeah.
And I told you before this morning and for weeks, you can't bring liquids through. Just you have to drink it or dump it. And so
only bring sealed water bottle.
No, you can't bring anything.
You can do a sealed water bottle.
I don't know. I saw people dumping them out.
It doesn't really matter. I mean, there's vending machines on the other side.
Yeah, and you can bring empty water bottles and fill them up.
Yeah.
So that gets us to TSA, right?
Yeah.
Kaylee's stuck at the thing, and she's just trying to figure it out. By the time we get through TSA to get to the other side, we have 15 minutes to get to our plane.
Oh my god!
And it's at the end gates, so it's as far away as possible, of course. And Kaylee's still a bag check, right? And she's like, hey, if you can get there, take the plane and they can move me to a later flight. I'm like, okay, cool. And I'm like, well, actually, we can't make it in time. There's no way we're going to make it in 15 minutes to the plane. It's like, just rebook all of us. So she goes and
you Uber.
Yeah. So she rebooks all of us. So we end up going on a plane at 10. So we hang out in the airport until 10 or 9:30 or like that. And it has a connecting flight going from to San Francisco and then SF to San Diego. But we only got that because they're like, oh, well, we have no more flights until like 7 p.m. tonight. And Mikhail's like, well, what about a connecting flight where you just land somewhere else? She's like, oh, I didn't think about that. Let's see. Oh, we have one of those in an hour.
She works the airline. She didn't think about a layover.
Yeah, exactly. So luckily our layover was only like half an hour. We got in, we landed, we went potty, grabbed some food, got back on the plane. No big deal.
Where was the layover at?
San Francisco.
Oh, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
So like, Seattle, San Francisco. It's like, all right, now you're waiting 30 minutes. Yeah. Well,
like our plane from San Francisco to San Diego was like a super small plane. It was like,
yeah,
it was small, but it was nice.
Bro. Really?
it gets better, right? We land in San Diego. We're in San Diego by like one, I think 2 PM or something like that. So Kaylee books a Lyft for us because she uses Lyft because she gets a discount from work. Right.
Sure.
So we book a Lyft and we, in the Lyft, we say there is 5 people with luggage, but she books it for 6 to overbook it. So they make sure it's in a big enough car. This guy pulls up in a Highlander, which seats 8, and but they're not that big, whatever. And we start putting luggage in the back. Again, the guy speaks very little English, which is not a big deal, but it's really hard to communicate with him when he's trying to argue with us.
Yeah.
And put all the luggage in. And then I say, hey, there's 5 of us. He goes, oh, too much luggage. And I'm like, we can just hold the luggage. It's fine. He then gets out, says nothing, unloads all of our luggage, closes the doors and drives away.
At the airport?
At the airport. Yeah. He took all of our luggage out of the back and just left. Didn't say shit, just left. And we're like,
he didn't want to deal with you guys. He's like, I'm done.
Yeah. And then there was this white van was there and pulled up forward. And this guy is like, hey, do you guys need a ride? I'm a driver. And so like, yeah, we're going here. He had a van, all the stuff in. Super nice guy. His name is Bashir. He's now the only guy I'm going to use in San Diego for picking me up and shit for this. Because he's like, just call me. I'll pick you up. Don't have to deal with that shit. So he takes us to our hotel. We're staying at the Sophia Hotel downtown. And
nice hotel.
It's a nice hotel. But because everything is going wrong, he drives to the Lafayette Hotel, which is on the outside of town, on accident. But he's like, oh, crap. But he turns around, takes us back to the Sophia. And he's like, oh, I'm not going to charge you. I paid him anyway. He's like, oh, no, it's free. I messed up. I'm like, no, dude, I'll pay you. It's fine.
Yeah.
So then we're in and we get all unpacked or rested, and the kids all want to take a nap. I have to then put my badge on and head right to Comic-Con. You know, mind you, we've only slept like 2 hours, 3 hours at this point. And so I get my badge on, I head down to Comic-Con for preview night, and then meet up with Sumner. And that's when I met Nathan Hamill, Mark Hamill's son, was that night. And then, you know, get the rundown on how to do everything with Comic-Con, meet the Titan crew, that kind of stuff. Then Comic-Con. And then from the rest of Comic-Con was pretty cool, right? The kids bought a lot of stuff. You spent a lot of money, way more than we should.
Did you get a chance to walk around the con at all, or were you in the booth?
I did. I was in the booth most of the time, but I took the times where there was like less traffic to the booth, when there wasn't a signing going on, and there was enough people there to go walk around and do stuff.
Yeah.
I had time, but I didn't have a lot of time. I think I was, all things considered and done, I was probably outside the booth maybe 6 hours for the 5 days. But come to Thursday, the second day, we're in there in the morning. I get there right at opening time. We're doing stuff. I get a phone call from Kristen, my sister-in-law, who is watching the dogs at the time. Uh-oh. And we have 2 sets of dogs. We have 3 labs and we have 2 doodles. We keep them separated because, you know, big dogs and smaller dogs. Well, when Kristen had the doodles outside, the labs outside,
Benny was happy with no dogs.
I was. But our bigger dog, Benny, got out of his kennel somehow because he's super smart and can open latches. He has to latch his top and bottom. Otherwise he can get out of it. He comes running upstairs and the labs attack him and there's a dog fight, and Kristen gets her finger all like exploded and cut up and had to get stitches. And
oh my God,
we had to have them take the dog to the vet for emergency checkout because they were like going after him because they just saw something run by that was fluffy and didn't know what it was. And they went after it. And it stopped pretty quick. I mean, and Benny's fine. No blood, no damage. Only thing that really happened was Kristen's finger, which got taken care of. So, and it's mostly because our one dog, Reggie, he gets anxious. His anxiety is bad. And we weren't there. So he's like, he's on edge. He's still on edge right now, even though we're back. So that happens. So that was fun. But you know, I'm on there. Most of Comic-Con was just at the booth, selling stuff, meeting artists and writers and creators and stuff like that, introducing myself, answering the same question 1,000 times of, do we still have the Stephen King signed book? Which, no, we don't. Over and over and over again.
Do you have the what? Then, signed book?
They had a Stephen King signed book on the first day, but they had six of them, and they sold in like 10 seconds. And every day, every like 30 minutes, someone would come by, oh, do you guys still have the Stephen King signed book? No. No, we do not. It's gone.
Just put a sign out. Stop asking. Yeah. We don't have this.
Right, right.
How much do they sell for?
$300, which is incredibly cheap for a King book.
Is it? For a signed Stephen King?
So I looked. So we sold out on Wednesday on preview night. I looked on Thursday about lunchtime. And of the six we sold, five of them were on eBay. And the cheapest one was $1,200.
Fucking assholes.
Yeah. They were bought by dealers. It's just,
I don't know, man. I don't know why that bugs me, but that does bug me.
Yeah, because it's not going to fans. It's going to people want to make money off of it.
Yeah. But it's just, I don't know. I don't get it. Yeah. I mean, it shouldn't really bug me. It's a free market. It's, you know, they're spectating. I get it.
I know. It just, on something it's like just, that, though, it's like, let the fans have it. I don't, on something super limited like that, I agree. Buy it, sell it, whatever. But on something that's super limited like that, you shouldn't be able to be a dealer and buy it. It should not go to, if you have an exhibitor badge, you should not be able to buy that stuff. You should have to have an attendee badge to buy it, because that stuff should go to the fans, right? Because where else is a fan going to find that book for that cheap? Nowhere.
There's the car dealerships or the car manufacturers are trying to do a thing where if you buy certain cars that they make you sign a contract that you can't resell it for a year.
What? Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Because
that's crazy.
Because of this. Because they're trying to avoid, it's already hard enough to keep a price where they're trying to promise a price at, right? But, you know, like the Ford Maverick, tiny truck, right? And when it came out, it was supposed to be $20,000, $25,000, and it just exponentially kept going up because it was more popular than they thought it was going to be. And then, you know, and so people were buying it and then reselling it for these exorbitant amounts. And the same thing happened with the Cybertruck, even though I think the Cybertruck's a joke. It looks like a refrigerator going down the street.
Yeah, it's whatever. Stupid.
And it's drastically reduced in price. But at the same time, there's just things that they're trying to do. And maybe that's something like when you're at a Comic-Con, I don't know. Maybe I'm just being an asshole. Whatever. I don't know. It just seems weird, you know? And it's true. It's like that super fan that is a super Stephen King fan that loves, what book was it?
It was later, one of the books Titan published.
Yeah.
It's so, a good book. I read it. It's a good book.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, what sucks though is like we sold the six copies, like that's the moment we opened, because people were already there who already had passes, were inside. And then, you know, fans, attendees came running over when they came in and asked, and we had to tell a bunch of people right away, no, it's already sold. And she's like, how is it sold? You guys just opened. Because
kind of sucks.
Yeah. But it's not we can do. Like, unless you have a policy in place and you're not going to sell to exhibitors. I mean, Titan did what they did, which is fine. And it's.
Yeah. Well, you can't really blame. I mean, the only thing Titan could do if they wanted to was say, okay, we're not going to sell it on opening day or on the preview day.
Yeah.
That Wednesday. And we're going to not sell it to anybody, only with people with the, like you said, that has a fan badge, not an exhibitor badge.
They did. So the thing Titan did great is they did limit it. They could fill anybody by more than one, and they made everybody wait until opening was. And then,
The first person that came up would have bought all of them.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
You know, if they didn't do that.
Yeah.
So that's crazy.
And then, Rusty Comic Con was fine. I bought way too much shit, but, going home is another fun story.
Uh-oh. So
we go home on Monday. So as always, we end Sunday with the beach fire with Pat, my friend Pat Nashley, because that's how we end every Comic Con, with the beach fire. It was awesome. On Monday, we go home. We get up early. We start packing all of our stuff and realize, God damn, we bought too much shit. We have so much stuff that we can't fit it all in our luggage. And we brought extra luggage with us too. So we start. We have it all in bags and stuff. We're going to see if we can check it or what we can do at the airport. Now, to preface this next part of the conversation, Pat was selling his Jeep, his 1903 two-door red Jeep manual. Okay. And I drove it back in September when I was there. I love it. It was awesome. He's selling it. So literally at the airport, Kay and I are talking. We go, you know what? Let's just buy the fucking Jeep and I'll drive it home and put all the shit in the Jeep.
You guys are fucking nuts.
at the airport, unloaded at the airport, I tell the driver, Bashir, I'm like, hey, actually, can you take me to my friend's house? Because we're going to buy his Jeep. So we load up most of the luggage back into the van. Kaylee, Jacob, Tegan, and Jack go take the plane. Sadie and I go back to Pat's house because Sadie has a license so she can drive. And we wait for Pat to get off work. And then we go through the Jeep and I load it up with all of our stuff. And then Sadie and I take this Jeep and we drive from San Diego up to Seattle, making some stops. And we stopped in Hollywood. We stopped in San Francisco. We stopped the Redwood Forest, and then drive all the way back up. And on the trip, I taught Sadie how to drive manual so she can now drive a stick, which is awesome. And now I have a red Jeep that's all my own, and it's a two-door. And it's insane. I know. It's insane, but it's awesome at the same time.
How many Jeeps do you guys have now?
Three.
Oh, you guys are idiots. I love it. I know. You still have your Subaru too?
Yeah, yeah. We have the Subaru. We have an 03 Jeep manual. We have a 2015 Jeep that's manual. We have a 2024 4XE hybrid Jeep. And then we have an 07 Lancer.
You guys are talking about getting rid of that.
The hybrid,
24 Jeep. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we're going to get rid of it. It's not like the hybrid portion of it's dumb. You get 22 miles on battery. That's it. It's like, come on. That's nothing. So the gas, the mileage is better, but not really.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's funny. Are you going to sell the Subaru? Is that going to be the commuter car?
Oh, it's paid off, so we're going to keep it.
Yeah.
The Subaru, all our cars are paid off except for the new Jeep. So the Subaru's paid off, and both Jeeps are paid off, and the Lancer's paid off.
Nice.
So the only payment we have is for the new Jeep. So we'll keep the other ones around. And actually, Sadie now wants to get a Jeep. A manual Jeep. So she wants to trade the Lancer in and get a Jeep. And I was like, well, let's see what we can do.
That's funny. That's what Ella wants is a Jeep.
They're fun. I like them.
She wants a yellow one.
Mm. Kitty found a yellow one for a pretty good price. And she's like, oh, I can trade in my Jeep for this Jeep. And I'm like, go for it.
That's funny. Yeah. It sounds like you had a good time though. Overall.
It was great. I missed you. I really wish you were down there, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. It would have been fun. It's kind of weird. You get into that group of people and all of a sudden you get like, you want to come help me with my booth?
Right. Well, and next year you can go down and help Stefan and I'll help Titan and you will be like one aisle from each other.
Yeah.
Cause you can see Stefan's booth from the Titan booth.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you go talk to him?
Oh yeah. I talked to him a couple times. Yeah. Of course. So he did good.
Oh, I'm sure. He always does good.
Yeah.
We kept it. He was going to do Rose City. He almost did Rose City.
That's good. That's a good show too. But, yeah.
He was supposed to do Dragon Con and I guess something happened with Dragon Con. I don't know. And he missed out. And so he was like, and I was like, well, have you done Rose City? And he's like, I've never done Rose City. I said, I hear it's really good. I've actually never been to Rose City Comic Con, but he was like, I was like, I hear it does really well. He's like, I'm going to check it out. And he called and he did have it. They were like, going to hook him up with an area, but the area they're hooking up with was like in a back row and it was like he just didn't feel he always gets a prime spot.
Oh yeah. You need that.
Cause it's Stefan fucking Frank.
Yeah. Yeah. So, he needs it and deserves it. Yeah.
Yeah. He always gets a prime spot, but he just didn't like what they had to offer. So he was like, man, maybe next year.
Yeah. It's a good show. I like Rose City. I like going as Intendi. I've actually had a booth there before. It's pretty fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So you got some other stuff going on too, right? You got a Kickstarter.
Yes.
We want to say August, but it'll probably be more like September.
Probably looking mid to late September. Yeah. I have a Jolene and Only Chapter 2, which will include issues 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. It's almost completed. So I'm looking at the Kickstarter page is pretty much done. I just had to finish the last few pages of the last of issue 10. And then I'm hoping to get that Kickstarter up and going. And then Ions got delayed because of a lot of things. I mean, we not going to get book 2 done in time. Because
of all the things.
Right. I mean, a lot of book 2 has gotten done. It's just not at a state where I can do a Kickstarter for you. Because I don't want to do – I'm not doing a Kickstarter for any book unless it's done. You know, I want to finish the book first.
Because Ions 1, it wasn't quite done when you started the Kickstarter, right? And that was a mistake, I think.
Yeah, it was.
You felt like it was a mistake.
Right, because then I got stuck in a pattern of, okay, I got to finish it. And then when I finish it, the printer that I used went under, and they didn't tell me that. So I had to spend another 2 months finding a new printer, and then lots of things
happened.
That
was so lame.
I got sick. I had a back surgery. Yeah, it was crazy. But yeah. So I'm not doing any Kickstarters until the book's fully done anymore. So Julian is almost done. So then I'll do that one, and then I'll do Ayn's when it's done. I was going to do a Kickstarter for memoirs for each of the three books, but I've decided I'm going to do a Kickstarter once all three books are out, and then I'll do a special edition of all three books through Kickstarter. So the last book comes out in October, so I'll probably do a Kickstarter for that one probably in January or something like that.
There you go. Yeah, the only thing that's not done on Supernatural Baby Detective issue 2 is the lettering.
Yeah.
But that's in a pro's hand.
I met him at Comic-Con too.
Oh, nice.
Super nice guy. Andrew Sumner introduced us, and he was like, hey, this is Johnny Horsley. He works on Supernatural Baby Detective with Kenrick. And he's like, oh, yeah, I did letters for that one. And then we talked for a little bit. I was like, yeah, I did the colors in the first one and help out with the second one. He's like, yeah, it's awesome. It's a good book.
Yeah, it's fun. That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I emailed Richard, I said, hey, can you post? And he did it right away. And I'm like, I should be utilizing him more. Mm-hmm. I just don't want him to think that, I don't know, you know.
I mean, it's a book he works on too.
Yeah, I know. But then you start thinking about things and I overthink it.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, that's usually what happens. I just overthink it and I don't want to, I don't know. I don't know why, honestly. I'm just like, meh. But yeah, the next one will be good. Because the nice thing is I get the lettering back. It usually takes about a month. Mm-hmm. And then we'll send out all the digital rewards.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing. I think on the third one, I'll probably try to get everything done, like the lettering done, and have the digital copy ready, because I'd like to be the day that it funds, release the digital.
Yeah.
Yeah. And people aren't waiting, you know, at least they get their initial reward until the printing comes in.
Yeah.
You know, the printing is always weird, and like all the pricing on shipping has gone way up.
Yeah, it's all crazy.
Yeah. I did realize though, I was on Chuck Panow's show a couple weeks ago, and he talks to somebody for the first 10, 15 minutes, and then he does a quiz show.
Oh, nice.
He gets really good engagement. He has quite a few people and they're going and this, and usually the creator that's on gives something for the, as a prize, you know, like a digital version of the comic or, you know, whatever. So I gave a physical copy of a signed copy of Supernatural Baby Detective number 1,
nice.
The Ram variant.
Nice.
And signed by you and I.
Nice.
And I was like, hey, give me the lady's address who won so I can send her this book. And Chuck comes in and she lives in Ontario.
Of course.
I should have said continental US. If you're outside, I'll give you a digital. And
that's going to be $30.
Yeah. And you know, it's so expensive to send. And I thought it was going to be $40, $50, you know, because it's like $30-$40 to send to Vancouver from Seattle.
Yeah, which is
crazy. Which is an hour north.
Yeah, it's not that far away.
It's ridiculous. And I think the USPS, I went there, and if you send it first class mail and it's only, you know, in a Gemini box thing, $8 or 8 ounces, 8.9 ounces, send it off, it was $25.
That's not too bad.
24 and change.
Yeah, which not was bad.
It's not bad considering. I mean, I thought it was going to be like $40-$50. And Chuck was like, I'll pay for it. Because we should have said something. And you know what I mean? I'm like, I mean, I appreciate it. We're splitting the difference. I'm like, how about we split it?
There you go.
On the shipping.
Thank God they weren't in Australia, though, because Australia would be like triple that.
Oh, dude, I sent issue 1. I had a guy from Australia do it. And it was like $45-$50.
Yeah.
To send it. Charging him 30. I mean, not to find a point on it, we lost money on that.
Yeah. We paid him to take the book.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is, I mean, you know, it is what it is. You don't know. The thing is I charged what, $30 for international shipping, not thinking that was going to be enough. And it wasn't. You know, yeah, on hard, issue three, hard. I'm going to have to go up to 40, which sucks. That sucks. I really wish I could find a local printer to print it and box it and send it in that country.
A local on-demand printer in that country. Yeah, they should. I mean, yeah. They should.
Well, apparently it's cheaper from Canada. So if you can find a printer in Canada to do it, ship it to Australia, it's like half the cost than it is from America.
That's weird.
That's what somebody told me. I don't know. I haven't tested it. Someone told me that.
Huh. Crazy.
Yeah. So, you know, it's getting exciting. I can't wait to get this book done.
Oh, for sure. I can't wait to have it done and eat the trade.
Yeah, I'm rewriting book three right now.
Yeah.
So.
Nice.
All right, guys. I think that was story time for today.
Yeah.
And then we'll be back soon. We got to get back to a normal schedule. I think that's what's killing us.
Yeah.
We were doing it almost every day, or we were doing like every Tuesday when we first started, I think it was.
Yeah, we need to pick a day to stick to it and do it that day every week.
Yeah. We were doing Tuesdays at 7.
Yeah.
When we first started. That was great because I'd be at work. I could be at work still and just set up in my little cubicle. People will walk by. They're like, what are you doing? Oh, I'm doing this podcast. Oh, what? From here? Yeah, why not? Yeah, all right, guys. Thank you for joining us here at Spoilerverse. Not Spoiler. It's gone.
Oh, look,
I got bubbles. Nuked. Bubbles. I don't have the bubbles. Whatever. You guys have a good day. Don't forget to open the mind.
And read more.
Later.